Scripture reading this morning will be coming from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities.
I'll go ahead and get this out of the way. Wendy forgot my birthday. Yesterday was my birthday, and y'all all made fun of me because I forgot hers. And after lunch, I come in the house, and she still hadn't said anything, so I started singing happy birthday to myself. And she said, oh, it's your birthday. So I immediately called a few of you and let you know. In case I didn't make it, everybody would know that she had forgotten. And this last week was a good week. Wendy and I went up north. She actually worked with me this last week, and 2 days while we were in Illinois, it rained or misted all day, and we worked together and got along real well and got a lot of work done, and we had a good week. But the thing I want to share with you for just a minute, you know, on Sunday mornings for the last several weeks, we've been talking about reigniting our passion for God. Wendy and I met a man up in Illinois this last week. He's a kind man. One of the nicest men I ever met, I guess, and he was very humble. He was 61 years old, and we began to talk, and it wasn't long till the conversation about God came up, church came up, and I walked through that door with him, and we began to talk about his life, and he had told me at some point in his life he was an alcoholic, and he drank real heavy, and he did not think about God, and he did not consider his soul. And a preacher came up to him one time and talked to him and actually prayed with him. And he said, it's been 40 years since I had a drink. And we talked about what a blessing God was in our life. And we talked about the encouragement that we get from being a Christian. And when we began to talk about our church family, talk about you, and talk about the relationships that we have, he opened up to us and he said this. He said, well, I've quit church. And I had to ask why. And I did. And he told me why. And I guess we spent around an hour or better talking to this man. And he finally came to tears, and when we finished the conversation, he hugged me and he hugged Wendy. And I remember as I was getting in the truck, Wendy was already in, and he and I walked around the back of the truck, and I shook his hand again, and I told him the title of this lesson, basically. I called him by his name, and I said, find that passion. Find that passion that you once had for God. I said, it's in there somewhere. God has not moved, you did. So look at yourself, look inside yourself, and the passion, the love that you had for God 40 years ago when you quit drinking. Go back to that. Go back to the need that you have for God. Go back to the prayer life you had with God. Go back to the Bible. And find what you need. Today is going to conclude this series of lessons that we're going to have on reigniting your passion for God. And I guess my question for you today is this. How often do you think about God? How often do you lean on God? How often do you concentrate and focus your life, your attention to God? I shared this story with you before, and I want to share it with you again. It's a story about a young man. It says, the day that I died was an ordinary day. How I wish I would have taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remember how I wheeled the car out of Mom. Special favor, I pleaded. all the kids drive. It says, when the 250 bell that rang that afternoon, I threw my books in my locker. I was free until 8:45 tomorrow morning. I ran to the parking lot. I was excited at the thought of driving a car and being my own boss. I was free. It doesn't matter, really, how the accident happened. I was goofing off. I was going too fast, taking crazy chances, but I was enjoying my freedom, and I was having lots of fun. The last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awfully slow in her car. I heard the deafening crash, and I felt a terrible jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. I heard myself scream. Suddenly, I was awakened. It was very quiet. A police officer was standing over me. And then I saw a doctor. My body was mangled. I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over me. But it's strange. I couldn't feel anything. "Hey, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. After all, I'm only 17. I've got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and I'm supposed to have a wonderful life. I haven't lived yet. I can't be dead." Later, I was placed in a drawer. My folks had to identify me. Why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look at my mom's eyes when she faced the most terrible ordeal of her life? Dad suddenly looked like an old man. He told the man in charge, "Yes, he is my son." The funeral was a weird experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk toward my casket. They passed by one by one, and they looked at me with the saddest eyes I've ever seen. Some of my buddies were even crying. A few of the girls, when they walked by my casket, they touched my hand, and they sobbed as they walked away. "Please, somebody, wake me up. Get me out of here. I can't bear to see my mom and dad so broken up. My grandparents are racked with grief. They can hardly walk. My brothers and sisters are like zombies. They're moving like robots in a daze. Everybody's that way. No one can believe this. I can't believe it either. Please, please don't bury me. I cannot be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and I want to run again. I want to sing and I want to dance. Please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I will be the most careful driver in the whole world. All I want is one more chance. Please, God, I'm only 17. Reigniting, or in some cases, igniting your love for God. can change your life. And it will change your destiny. You know, my birthday is not what it once was. We had a get-together last night for people at work with me. And most everybody had gone. I think Robin was still there, and I think Darren and Debbie and me and Wendy, and I don't know if anybody else was there or not. They got to talking to me and wishing me a happy birthday. And I started to cry a little bit. You know, 5 years ago today, about this time of day, give or take an hour, I walked in a room and told my baby boy that he had less than a week to live. That happened a day after my birthday. And I cried last night as I thought about my birthday because I said every year it brings back a memory. And I can live it in my head right now, and I could about tell you word for word what happened that day. I remember meeting with the doctors and the nurses and the chaplain there. And I remember the doctor telling me that he was about to go tell Jay, and I said, no. He said, he needs to know. I said, you don't understand. I promised that I would tell Jay. One of them said, Mr. Rogers, you can't. I said, I will. Just leave me alone for a minute. And I remember, y'all, before I walked in that room, I stopped and I paused and I prayed and I asked God to give me strength. And then they opened the door and I walked in and I couldn't control my tears. And I remember Jay looking at me and asking what was wrong. I went to my knees beside his bed and I grabbed his little hand. I told him the news I'd wished I'd never had to tell him. I told him as hard as he had fought, his journey was about over. How much passion can you find this morning for God? Because the one thing that keeps me going is a love that I know that God has for me. And I do my very best, and I fail a lot of times. But I do my very best to grow my love to God. Jay wrote a sermon, and I want to share it with you. He wrote a sermon, and he called it Desire. He talked about the desire that we need to have as a Christian. He started an introduction, and he talked about crossword puzzles, and now this is where he took after me because he said, I'm not very good at them, and I'm not either. He said, but there's some words that's fascinating, and one of which was the word desire. And he went to the Webster's Dictionary, and he looked it up, and he said desire is to long or hope for something. So in his sermon, he talked about the desire that he had and the desire that each one of us should have to long or hope for something. And as Christians, that desire, that hope that we have in our life should be that home in heaven. And he went and he spelt the word like I do a lot of times in a lot of my sermons. I'll take words and I'll spell them out, and it makes it easier to remember them. So he spelt out desire, and he said D stood for being determined. So I challenge you this morning, how much determination do you have? You know, we have to set our minds to be determined to live faithful to God. And he brought that out in a sense that he said, you know, it's not always easy. We have to be determined. We have to get up in the morning. We have to think about it. We have to say, today I'm going to serve God. And today I'm going to serve God more or better than I did yesterday. You know, y'all, I don't know about you, but I look at my life and I think about it. I can sit here, and I'm not going to, but I can sit here and I can tell you all the mistakes I made this last week. Not all of them. Some of them I don't know about, but I could give you a list of things I did this last week or did not do that I disappointed myself. And part of being determined is we learn from those things and we say, today I'm going to be better than I was yesterday. Jack read for us in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. You know, that verse will help us make sure that we're in the right relationship with God. What kind of relationship do you have today with God? Are you close to God? Scripture that Steve and I talk about a lot, draw near to God, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. When you're going through your daily activities, are you looking to God? Are you looking for God? Are you focusing on godly things? And are you thinking, today I'm going to be stronger than I've ever been in my whole life as a Christian? He brought out Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. He said, the only way we can have that determination is that we seek first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? The things that we need in this life, they're going to be added unto us. Our worries can be taken away from us if we'll seek first the kingdom of God. Then he pointed out how that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, that every one of us, as we're determined to live that Christian life, that we should be steadfast. And don't move. You know, when we find ourselves to be in the right relationship with God, and we find ourselves to be a Christian, we find ourselves to be in the church, you know, the thing that hurts me the most as I think about the years that I have preached or the years that I've tried to preach I've got a list, and it's not for bragging by no means, because God gets all the glory of anything that any of us do. But I've got a list of the ones that's responded. I've got a list of the ones that I've baptized into Christ. But you know what hurts the most, Nars? Is those that's left God. Those that they found themselves to be in the right relationship with God, they found themselves to be in the church, in the saved, however you want to word that, they obeyed the gospel, and then you go back later on at a congregation where you used to preach, and you go and you say, well, they don't come anymore. Paul said, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Don't move. Plant your feet. Stand your ground. Desire. We go to E. J said, echo. Echo Jesus' words. He said there's three things we have to do as we think about Jesus and we think about echoing His word. And I suggest in reigniting our passion for God, number one is we echo the teachings of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, we just had the Great Commission there. And we go and we preach and we teach and we baptize and we're living that life, and we know that we should. And in verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. So if we're going to echo Jesus, the one thing we've got to do be doing is teaching others. A man come by my house last night. I guess he was there an hour, hour and a half. We talked about children. I actually invited them to come to church today. And this man had tears in his eyes when he looked at me, and he said, my oldest child, I forgot how old he said he was, come up to me and was crying the other day and asking him, Daddy, why don't we go to church? I want to go to church. And this man was upset last night and he was crying. Because his son had to come to him for him to recognize his need for God in his life. And what we need more than anything as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles is that we instill in our young people's minds the teaching of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something, they're not going to get it from the world. They're not going to get it from the television. They're not going to get it from the news media and all the bickering and arguing and fighting that's going on in our country today. They're not going to share Jesus with our children. They're not going to share Jesus with our grandchildren. It's got to come from us. And if we get so wrapped up in life and we get so busy and our passion for God is not what it should be that we don't even teach our children about Jesus, we're teaching them to go to hell. The only way to heaven is through Christ. Matter of fact, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Activities are wonderful. I like going to the football games. I like going watching my granddaughter cheer. I figure one day I'll be standing down there like me and Norris done for years at the football game, holler, that's my boy. I'll be hollering, that's my grandboy. I figure I'll do that someday if the Lord blesses me to live. And those activities are fun and they're good for our young people, but folks, it's not all it is to life. If we focus everything on entertaining, we're going to lose our children. They're going to grow up, they're not going to know anything about God, they're not going to know anything about Jesus, they're not going to know anything about the church, and I'm going to tell you something, you're not going to be shocked at this, but they're not going to be here. If we don't teach our children about the importance of God and the church, one day you're going to be here and they're not. And we're going to wonder where all the young people's at. Well, they're gone. We got to echo the words of Jesus. The teaching of him. The second thing Jesus or Jay pointed out in his lesson was loving others. Part of echoing Jesus is loving others. And he said, John 15:12-19, great passage. You need to turn there. You need to read that. How that we are to love. And that we share that love with others. And we need to have that passion. And it needs to come out. Next letter is S. I'm going to speed up. Jay said the S in desire is to seek salvation. Listen, seek salvation at all cost. Don't just look for salvation. He said seek salvation at all cost. What do you seek most in your life? Turn to Matthew chapter 16 with me. Matthew chapter 16, let's look at verse 26. What is it that's number one in your life? You know, we talk about ball games. I'm not against them. We talk about cheerleading. I'm not against that. We talk about going on vacation. I'm not against that. You know, Wendy and I and Annie and Charlie, we're leaving this week. We're going on a bus trip, and I'm kind of looking forward to it. But at the same time, I don't quit being a Christian when I get on that bus, David. I don't quit being a Christian when I go somewhere. I don't quit being a Christian when I'm at a ball game. I'm a Christian every day of my life. And if I can't serve God, Charlie, on that bus, I don't need to be on the bus. We look for ways to serve God and to teach others, and we seek salvation at all costs. What's most important in your life? Look at verse 26. For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What's most important to you is what Jesus is saying there. What are you going to trade your soul for? Service to God is most important. The fourth letter that Jay pointed out was I, and it was influence. He said we should all have a godly influence in our lives. We got to surround ourselves with people. I read an article this last week, and it talked about who you hung around with. It was mainly dealing with young people, teenagers, or college-age kids. It's talking about who you hung around with, and it said, you know, we got to have some Christians in our life. We got to have some good influences in our life. Folks, it's hard to live a Christian life. Is the only time I'm around Christians is on Sunday. We need to have friends. We need to have that relationship and that influence with our elders, with our members, with our youth, with our young people. We should all give that same godly influence back to others. What did Jesus tell us to do? He told us to let our light shine in such a way. Let your light so shine before men. Folks, we've got to be that godly influence on other people. Our teaching does not hold water if we tell someone they should not drink and they see us drinking. Our teachings don't hold water if we tell someone you should not take God's name in vain and you're out here cussing like a sailor. It don't hold water if you teach someone and you're trying to tell someone how much they ought to love God and give your life to Jesus and every day serve Him, and you're never in regular attendance, or you're never talking to someone about Jesus, or you're not living the life yourself. It just don't hold water. And I'm not going to believe you, and I'm not going to pay attention to you if I know the kind of life you live and you're not living a Christian life. Why are you sharing with me Jesus? Because you don't live it. We have to be concerned about our influence. The next letter Jay talked about was R, and it was repentance. He said, change your life through repentance and confession of your sins. Jesus said in Luke 13 and verse 3, He said, repent or what? Perish. Folks, that's a choice we have to make. That's not being ugly. That's not me judging you. That's Jesus saying, you repent or you perish. And it's our choice. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, David brought out in his class this morning that he shared with someone he was talking to about the gospel this last week. Talks about repentance, and it talks about repentance being a change. We have to change the way that we live. We have to decide we're going to do that. And then the last letter, I'm going to read to you out of Jay's book. I didn't want to mess this one up. Was encouragement for desire. Our desire should be to encourage as many people as possible. Encouragement can do so much. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Others can see your happiness. And listen, he said, and it's contagious. If you're happy, other people are going to be happy. If you smile, other people are going to smile. Talked to a guy that told me, he said, you know, the first time I met Jay, I didn't even know it was Jay at the time. He had come to our house, and he was doing something around the house. I don't remember. He did. And he said, you looked at Jay and said, son, go fix him something to drink if you don't mind. He said, Jay went in the house, and he come out. You know, when we drank around my house, we drank at a gallon jugs, it seems like. We got these big old insulated jugs. And he come out with one of them. He said he had both hands around this big jug, brought it out for him to drink. And he said, I'll never forget Jay smiling from ear to ear when he come out to hand him a glass of tea. He said, that's what I remember about Jay, is that he had that smile on his face. And when I was reading this and thinking about it, others can see your happiness and it's contagious. He said, your light shining will help other lights to shine. If you'll let your light shine, more people's lights will shine. And he said, let people see that your life of encouragement is for God and to give God all the glory in your life. And his conclusion is, what is your desire today? Can we assist you in becoming a Christian? He said, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism is where you need to start. Obeying the gospel. Deciding, I do love God, and I want to serve God, and I want to be obedient to him. He said, is your desire to come back to the Lord? James chapter 5 and verse 16. Let's all be happy as Christians because we know that we have a King who is preparing us a home. John 14 verses 1 through 3. He said, my desire is to live in that home someday. What about you? It should show in your life. If your goal is to live in heaven someday, then it ought to show in your life. By the life that you live and the actions that you take in your life. I hope that in some of these lessons at least that you have somehow decided that you're going to rebuild, reignite that passion for God. Kind of like the man I talked to this last week. His life had been a roller coaster ride. He had been down, he went up, he come back down, and he told me all about his life. But the one thing he was missing was love for God. That he will stay with God no matter what. I introduced him to Wendy and introduced Wendy to him, and he said, how long have y'all been married? And I was thinking, and Wendy answered. She said, 30 years. He said, that's odd. I said, what? He said, you stay together for 30 years, especially y'all's age. You know, he's older than me. He said, y'all's age group don't do that much. I said, well, I love her. I said, I reckon we'll stay together till we're dead. That's passion. So I'm going to tell you, she's not perfect. And neither am I. Y'all was waiting on that. And neither am I. But God is perfect, and we're not. And God loves us, even though we're not perfect. And we've got to have love for God. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, do you love him enough to come? Do you love him enough to become a Christian today? Do you love him enough, if you're already a Christian, to come back to God to say, you know, I'm not in the right relationship with God. I have things that's holding me back from being the Christian that I need to be, and I need to get those out of my life. Do you love him enough to come? Why, together we stand and sing.